We're going to look at Romans 12, verse number 3. It tells us something here that we need to understand. Verse number 3, I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. How many of you know that didn't say don't think of yourself highly? It said not more highly than you ought. How many of you know you ought to think as high of yourself as the Lord thinks of you? Praise the Lord. That's not pride. Pride is thinking more highly than you ought. Pride is getting beyond reality. But he tells us not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, but think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Tell your neighbor, God has dealt to every believer the measure of faith. Amen. So what does that mean? You have the measure of the God kind of faith. You have a measure, the measure that God has dealt to every believer. I believe it's the same measure. I don't believe any believer got more than another. I believe it's not a measure. I believe it's the measure. The measure means everybody's the same, got the same. And God is an equal opportunity God. He provided everybody with the same spiritual equipment as everybody else that got born again. So he's dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, look at Revelation chapter number 12. We're going to use both of these as our text. Revelation chapter 12, look at verse number 11. This is speaking of Satan, the accuser. If you look back in the chapter 12, verse number 10 talks about Satan being cast out. And he calls him the accuser of the brethren. Yeah. Revelation 12:10. And then it says in verse number 11, they overcame him, the accuser of the brethren. Yeah. They overcame the accuser of the brethren by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Amen. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Glory to God. I already did it. I got a little bit drunk just reading those two verses. If you're new tonight, you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm drunk on the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now, really, tonight, I want to talk about whipping condemnation over your level of faith. Oh, you didn't hear that. Okay, I'm instructed to say it again. So, whipping condemnation over your level of faith. So notice back there, he's dealt to every man the measure of faith. And how many of you know, according to 1 Thessalonians, Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonica, and he said that their faith grows or groweth exceedingly. So how many of you know, God gave us an initial measure, and we can grow that measure by feeding it on the Word of God and exercising our faith. And so it's just good to know you've got the measure of faith, and you can do the right things with it and get it to grow. And continue to receive more and more and be more and more victorious. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And so you can live in victory and more victory by growing your faith. Yes. And so, but the thing you need to realize is there is an enemy of your faith, and that is Satan, the accuser of the brethren. And he's going to accuse you in a lot of different areas. He's going to accuse you of failing and missing it and all sorts of stuff. You know, you could do better and you should have done better and, you know, all that. But he's going to accuse you about your measure of faith. I don't know if you've run into that one yet. I said that sarcastically. I know you did. He's always accusing people of their measure of faith. Amen. And sometimes if we're not careful, we will live in condemnation over where we are in faith, or we will condemn other people about where they are in faith. And really, whenever we do that, whenever we listen to the voice of condemnation about where we are in faith, or we accuse other people, we're either listening to the devil or we're speaking for him. I said, we're either listening to the devil or we're speaking for him. Because he's the accuser of the brethren. And what spirit are we listening to if we're accusing our brother about his measure of faith? Well, Pastor, I should be further along than I am. Well, welcome to the body of Christ. Okay, my mic went off or something. I don't know. I said, welcome to the body. We all should be further along. But what good is it going to do us sitting around beating ourselves up about it? In fact, that's exactly what the devil wants us to do. Do you know God doesn't spurn you or I on by condemning us? Accusing us, finding fault, you're this, you're not this, you should be this, this isn't, you're not right there. That's not the way God spurns us on, not with condemnation. God is a very positive God. I said he's a very positive God. And he'll encourage you and spurn you on with encouragement, but he'll never condemn you. He might convict you. Amen. He might talk to you about some things that'll help you get develop in faith. But listen, he's not a condemning God. I said he's not a condemning God. How many of you know God knows that if he's going to keep beating us up for where we are, as opposed to where we should be, he's actually going to destroy the very thing he's trying to create. He's going to destroy the very faith he's trying to develop in us. You know, always accusing us, finding a reason to put us down and say, well, you know, you should be further along. And that's a voice that we've got to stop listening to. I said, we've got to stop listening to that voice. Because I'll be honest with you, the devil uses that a lot on spirit of faithers. So I just decided, the Lord didn't even tell me, I just decided I'm going to hit it tonight. Because as the pastor, he shows me things that the congregation needs, and I just go ahead and address it. Amen. Amen. So we're going to look at this, whipping condemnation over our measure of faith. Satan's the accuser of the brethren, and he'll always accuse us along these lines. And so we can't, although maybe we could be and should be further along, we're not going to get anywhere beating ourselves up about it. Amen. And God's not going to do it. God's not going to keep beating us up about it. He wouldn't get us, you know, or we wouldn't be any good to him if we were all beat up about our faith. He knows that. And so you know what he's going to do? He's going to meet us where we are. I said he's going to meet us right where we are. He's an encourager, not a condemner. And he spurns us to greater things by encouragement, not criticism, amen, over our measure. Amen. You realize if you are at a certain place of faith, it is what it is. And there ain't no condemnation that's going to help it. So God doesn't go there. I said God doesn't go there. And anybody who does isn't listening to the voice of the Spirit. I said they're listening to some other voice. They're not listening to the voice of the Spirit. Amen. God's a very positive God. He's not a negative God. He's not always, you know, finding fault and putting people down and so forth and so on. I don't mean he won't correct us or deal strong with us. You realize, but I'm talking about condemnation. He won't put us down in condemnation. He always, in love, spurns us on to greater things. You realize that? Tell your neighbor that you need to understand that. How many of you know any faith pleases God? Amen. Yes. Do you realize when a baby is a... Because the Bible parallels spiritual growth to natural growth. Yeah. It calls us, when we're first born again, babies, and we grow up, you know, and as newborn babes, it says, desire the sincere milk of the word, and we feed on the milk and grow spiritually, and we grow up, become more mature. None of us have arrived yet. Amen. Anybody that says they've arrived, they're deceived. Amen. In fact, they say they have arrived. Proof positive they haven't. Amen. None of us have arrived. But yet, right on the other hand, spiritual babies grow. And, you know, whenever, like you have a baby in your family, and that baby starts out, that baby doesn't know how to walk at first, you know, and it'll start crawling eventually and so forth, and then it'll get up and it'll pull itself up, hold itself up, you know, and let go and kerplunk.
Yeah.
Or take a step and kerplunk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And when that baby goes kerplunk, do you say that? We said that growing up. You know what kerplunk is?
Sure.
Okay. Jeff, when that baby goes kerplunk and falls, in other words, their bottom hits the floor.
Yeah.
Do you walk over there and spank that baby?
No.
Well, you're in Eberly. You should be walking by now. I'm telling you what's wrong with you? If you do that, then you're not a good parent. You don't understand.
Yeah.
Come on.
Amen. And God's a good parent. And whenever you and I take a step of faith, He's up there. Yay! Yay! You can do it. Come on.
Yeah.
Kerplunk. Oh, you did so good. Let's do this again. Come on.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
That's the way our Father God
yes,
is.
He is. Yeah.
Amen. Ooh, I said that's the way our Father God is.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, Pastor, if I really had faith, I wouldn't be going through this test or this trial. No, no, that's not true.
Yeah.
That's the accuser of the brethren. There's no place in the Word of God that says if you had faith, you won't have tests and trials. In fact, if having faith means you don't have any tests or trials, Paul was a faith flunky. He had more tests and trials than all of us put together. We could wrap a bow around all our tests and trials, put them all together, wrap a bow around all of them, and wouldn't be near what Paul had.
Yeah, come on.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
But he was a giant in faith.
Yes, he was.
No, it doesn't mean you won't have any tests or trials. I said, it doesn't mean if you get attacked with disease or infirmity or something, that doesn't mean you don't have any faith. You need to know that. I said, you need to know that. Hallelujah.
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 And so, and listen, whenever you get attacked with something, whether it be physical in your body or something, don't be ashamed to show up in church.
Come on.
Even if you everybody can tell you've got something going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
even if they can tell you're blowing your nose.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Now right now the COVID thing wants everybody to be if they've got a fever to not, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, hey, don't be ashamed to show up. Everybody looks at you like, what's wrong with you? You just say, praise God, I came to church to get my help. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
No condemnation.
That's right.
And this church isn't, and if people do, I'm going to get onto them. This church isn't one of those kind of churches that looks at everybody like down their nose and say, well, what's wrong with you? If you had faith, you wouldn't be all snorting and snotting like that.
Come on.
That doesn't mean they don't have faith.
Come on,
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Come on now. Hallelujah. Listen, don't you accept the blame for something the devil did.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, I'm guilty of letting this get on me and so forth and so on. You didn't do it. The devil did it.
That's right.
Amen. Come on.
Come on.
Come on. Tell me I'm preaching all right.
Good.
Just put the blame right square where it is.
Amen.
So you've gone through things. I've gone through things. Listen, the people that you look around and think they've never gone through anything or they're not going through anything and they're probably looking down their nose at me, they might have 13 things going on right now. They just haven't told you.
Come on.
Amen.
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 I'll tell you, some of you are going to get happy before you leave today. Amen. Amen. So faith doesn't mean you won't come under attack. Faith means you always triumph.
Yes, sir.
But like Smith Wigglesworth said, great victories come out of great battles.
Yes.
Well, I don't want to have any battles. Well, faith doesn't mean you won't have any battles. Faith might mean you're going to have to face some things.
Yeah. Right.
You know, there's some things that come just for the word's sake.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Yeah.
Well, if I really had faith, this wouldn't have come. Who said?
Yeah.
Well.
Right.
Not the Bible.
Come on.
That's the accuser of the brethren telling you that you shouldn't be where you are and you shouldn't have these symptoms and you shouldn't be going through a test or a trial.
Come on.
Let me tell you something else that you need to get over. Well, I don't want to let the pastors down. You know, I got this attack. I'm letting the pastor down. That gets old, folks.
Yeah.
Come on.
You're not letting us down.
Thank you. Come on.
Come on.
You know, if I get disappointed at you because you're going through a test and trial, I'd have to be disappointed at myself over and over and over and over and over again.
All right.
Amen. I want you to hear that.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Wouldn't that be silly, being disappointed at you for going through a test and trial, and I'm going through something myself?
Come on.
That's just the lie of the devil. That's just the accuser of the brethren. We haven't put that on you.
Yeah.
The devil says things like that.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Well,
amen.
Tell your neighbor he's preaching better than your amen anyhow. You know, he's dealt to us the measure of faith, and that faith can grow. And I believe most everybody here's faith's growing.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise
God.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But right on the other hand, you know, if we're not where, because condemnation can come through other people, but it can also just be an accusative voice to our own mind.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
And nobody else is thinking it or saying it.
Yeah.
But it's just the devil lying to us.
Yes, sir. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, I learned a long time ago how the Lord hates this, how displeasing it is to Him. And He has dealt with me about this strong, and not just once. He's dealt with me about it real strong. I'll give you a couple of stories, and I think most of you, whenever I start telling these stories, you're going to remember. One of them was a number of years ago, I think probably 4 or 5 years ago. That's a number of years ago. That's a number. Pastor Debbie started having some pain in her one of her toes. I don't remember which one. Big toe. And she was having an ingrown toenail. You know, it was growing in. I don't know if you ever seen that or heard of that. Or maybe experienced that. And those things hurt. I mean, they can make you limp and look like an old man. You know, just, but all it is an ingrown toenail. But she was trying to work with it. I don't remember all the things she was trying to do. And believe in God. And God kept dealing with her. Go have it cut out. And she said something to me. And I said, well, no, let's believe God. And I was pressuring her to use her faith without going to the doctor. See, now here's something we need to realize. That some people say, well, you need to use your faith or go to the doctor. Well, how many of you know whatever we do, we better do it in faith?
Yes.
If we don't go to the doctor or we do go to the doctor, we better do it in faith.
Yes.
It's not an either or. It's either faith or go to the doctor. It's faith regardless of how we're led.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And she was led to go and have that cut out because they can, you know, operate on that. I guess however they do it, cauterize that side of it or something, you know, keep it from growing in like that again. However they do that. But and I was pressuring her to not go to the doctor. And finally she said, well, it's my body. I'm going to do what I feel led to do. And I thank God for that because that's true. How many of you know in your spouse's life, it's not your decision? That's a good time to say amen. It's their decision. And your place is to meet them wherever they are at their point of faith and scotch for them.
Yes,
if they say, this is where I am and this is where I believe I should put my faith or where my measure of faith is, then you should say, all right, I'm going to meet you right where you are, right there.
Amen.
And I'm going to, you know what I mean by scotch for you?
Yes.
It's a little like putting a block behind the wheel so that it doesn't come back.
Yeah.
I mean, you're holding them,
yes.
You know, and encouraging them.
Yes, sir.
We call it scotching for them. I don't know. Maybe I'm using terms that you didn't grow up with, but that wasn't what I was doing. I was accusing her. She said, "Well, it's my body. I'm going to make the decision," and that's right. She should have done that. I was the one that was wrong. And so she went, and I grumbled, and you know, and complained, and she got it cut out. Amen.
Amen.
It wasn't a couple of months I started having an ingrown toenail.
Yikes.
Absolutely the truth.
Wow.
I'm thinking, bless God, I'm going to believe God. And the Lord said, no, you're not. You're going to have it go. You're going to have it go. Have it cut out.
All right.
I said, nah, blah, blah, blah. Lord, I'm going to believe God. And He said, no, you're not. You're going to have it cut out.
Oh,
and I hobbled and hurt and acted the fool and tried to put on my big boy faith britches and nothing was working. Finally, you get to the place you can't even walk.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, I don't know if you've ever had an ingrown toenail or not. I don't wish it on my enemies, any of my enemies. But I mean, that thing hurt. And you just couldn't hardly walk. I mean, you look funny going in to preach and you're hobbling with a... And you can't even get a shoe on that foot anymore. So you're coming in with one shoe. Wow. Preaching healing. See, there's more to healing than just raw, believe God, and make a confession of faith. It's the truth. I said there's more to healing. So, you know, I never forget it. I was up there hobbling into a meeting up in South Dakota. Actually, the pastor was the son of the architect who carved Mount Rushmore. Amen. I'll never forget it. It was a unique situation up there. It was kind of fun. But except the whole thing was I had an ingrown toenail while I was there, and it just ruined the whole trip. So finally, I said, I got to do something about this. And the Lord said, you sure do. You're going to have to get that cut out. And he said, the reason is because you accused your wife. Yeah. You accused your wife. And criticized her and condemned her for her measure of faith to get her ingrown toenail cut out. Yikes. Amen. I learned a few things out of that. One thing I learned is the Lord hates condemnation. And you and I better learn it quick. If you don't learn it on your own, learn it from me. Just take my story for it rather than you have to go through some kind of hardship yourself. I remember hearing Smith Wigglesworth say, somebody came up to him one time and they said, Smith Wigglesworth, how's coming? They called it spectacles back then, glasses, you know. Why do you know, you're out here preaching faith and healing and all that and seeing miracles and everything. Why? How's come you wearing spectacles? Smith Wigglesworth started weeping. He said, I criticized, I forget if it was his daughter or somebody, for wearing spectacles. And that brought it on me. Now I got to wear spectacles. Huh?
Yes, sir.
I said, huh?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
I think we need to hear this side of
yes,
some
sir.
Things sometimes.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I learned the Lord hates condemnation.
Yes,
I learned also that if you condemn a man for his level of faith, you're going to go through the same thing and you won't have any help from heaven to get through it above and beyond the level you criticized. That's the clock ticking while you think. You want me to say that again? That's what I learned criticizing her for having an ingrown toenail cut out. I learned, yeah, I'm going to say it again because I think we need to hear it. I learned that if you or I condemn another man for his level of faith, we're going to go through the same thing and won't have help from heaven to get through it above and beyond the level that we criticized. That's something to think about. Then I also learned to leave all men with God. I said, I learned to leave all men with God. In other words, where they are in faith is between them and God and really not too much of my business. Well, I think they should be further along. Who cares what you think? You might think I should be further along. I might think you should be further along. But it really, either of our opinions means nothing to God. Nothing to God. Tell me I'm preaching all right and that you're getting what I'm preaching. We just got to leave all men with God. Amen. My business is to walk in all the light I have with God, from God. Amen. And if I'm somebody's pastor, which they're asking for our help, because people ask for help, then my business is just simply to feed them and help them grow. And wherever they are, if they hit a test or trial, wherever they are in faith, just simply locate where they are and meet them on that level so they can go on and receive from God and go on and be blessed.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm telling you, that's good news right there. That's freedom right there. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So the Lord's dealt with me about this. And I don't mean once. He's dealt with me a number of times. I remember in healing school, one day, preaching in healing school, Kenneth Hagin Ministries, I remember preaching. Got a burr under my saddle or something. And I was preaching to the people down, critical, you know. And some reason or another, you know, you should be getting it and so forth and so on. And, you know, these people usually would come from out of town and stay for a week. And they had been there a whole week, bless God, and they weren't getting it. That was my thinking. And so I kind of preached hard at him. And I'll never forget it. After the service, I could sense the Lord wanted to talk to me. And so I started looking for, because people, we were saying hi to some people, and I'm sort of looking for my exit, you know, and looking to get alone. And eventually I got my chance, and I went to, if you go through the back of the auditorium, the doors there, there's a hallway, and then another door, and then there was a speaker's room right there. You could go in there, just a little, I don't know, not even half the size of a bedroom, just a little area in there, and you could, you know, lock the door, pray, and get ready for the service, except after service, I went into there, and I closed the door, and I locked it, because I sensed the Lord wanted to talk to me. Well, as soon as I closed the door, and just started praying and putting up my antenna to see what it was, the glory of God came in there. I mean, and it was different than it had ever come, that I had ever experienced in my life. I think I know what it was like whenever the glory of God, because Miriam and Aaron accused Moses of some things and tried to take some place to themselves that God hadn't given them and so forth. And the glory of God showed up.
Yes, sir.
And came between Moses and Miriam and Aaron. And God was mad.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
And he started in on Miriam and Aaron.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that same glory showed up in that room that day. And he started out, this is the way God started out talking to me. Because whenever the glory came in, there was a chair in there. I got down and I knelt down on the chair. I could tell, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. And I didn't want to be knocked down. I just figured I'd get down, you know.
Yeah.
And I said, I got down on that chair. I knelt down. And the Lord started his conversation with me by saying, I took it personally how you treated my people today. That's the way he started it out. He said, and he reminded me everything I said. He just showed me in the service everything I said. Critical here, pushing, you know, condemning here, and so forth. And he started showing me everything that I had said. And I got down, I got below the chair. I got down and I laid flat on the ground in humility before God. Because I'm being dealt with real strong. And he said, I took it personally the way you treated my people today. How many of you know whenever Paul was persecuting Christians and Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?
Yeah.
He's talking, Paul's persecuting God's people, but Jesus said, you're persecuting me.
Yeah.
In other words, Jesus took it personal the way Paul was treating his people.
Yeah. Amen.
How about over here? Is that true?
Yes, sir. Yes.
He took it personally.
Absolutely.
And so the Lord started in with me on that. He said, I took it personally the way you treated my people today.
Yes,
and he reminded me everything I said. And then he said, how long did it take you to get it? Oh, my. Come on.
Yeah.
And so he just laid into me and I started repenting.
Yes, sir.
And I got some things right. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So whenever I say the Lord has dealt with me strong about this, and he's dealt with me about it more than once, now you understand what I'm talking about. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so I'll just be honest with you. The thing I learned was God did not like the spirit I ministered to his people through. I said he didn't like it. Amen?
Amen.
Think about that.
Yes,
I mean, you think about things like that, it'll cure you. You have experiences like I've had where the Lord dealt with me about it, it'll cure you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. If you're coming up young and coming up in the ministry, just learn from me. I hope you don't have to go through that. Amen. Listen, if you pop a pill to free yourself from pain, or you have an operation to stay living longer,
yes,
just go ahead and do it without condemnation.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
And doesn't matter what somebody else has to say about it. If that's where you are in faith and you believe God will bless that and, you know, use the doctor's hands and so forth and so on. Amen. Just go ahead and do it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And hold your head up high.
Amen.
And don't let anybody try to put you down.
Exactly.
And the very person that does, they're going to have to go through the same thing. And maybe something worse, and won't have any more help from heaven than the level they criticized. I don't know about you, but that makes you want to think about it before you get critical of other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, just go ahead and pop the pill if you have to. Amen. I've been in pain.
Yeah.
I know what it's like to have pain. And I'll tell you, there's times you'd just rather be out of pain.
Yeah.
I mean, hit me in the head with a ball bat. Do something. Get me out of this pain.
Seriously.
Amen. And if you got to have an operation to live or to have a good life or something like that, do it. Live another day to serve Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And then just go ahead and stick your tongue out at the devil's condemnation. Amen. And shout in the blessings of God when you get to the other side of it. And we'll all shout with you and praise God. Hallelujah. Woohoo. Glory. We still got you around. You're not in pain anymore. Hallelujah. Let's go on and believe God and grow and keep on reaching for more of what God has for us.
Amen.
Without any condemnation. Woo. Glory be to God. I said glory be to God. Now, all that being said, that doesn't mean, nor are we saying that that's God's best. You realize, while you're doing all that, just keep on feeding your faith, exercising your faith, and you'll grow until you can lay hold of God's best. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. See, this is pastoral preaching. Amen. How many of you ever read over there in 1 Corinthians 13 where it talks about, though I have the faith to move mountains and have not love, I'm a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. That's what I'm preaching tonight. We can be strong in faith and little in love and miss God by 1,000 miles.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
And you know, somebody came to me and said, well, I didn't want to say I had to have the operation. I didn't want to want you to know and didn't want to let you down. I said, it hurts me that you've been going through all that pain and weren't going to have an operation just so I wouldn't be disappointed. I said, that hurts me. I love you and don't want you to have pain. I've been in pain. I know what it's like. I don't want anybody to have any pain. And I wept with them. Tears streamed down my face. I said, that's hard for me to hear. That you would look at that way. Because that's not my heart at all. Amen.
Amen.
Now, none of this that we're preaching tonight, none of this is saying that that's God's best. Sure, God has something better. But listen, the first person to accuse us of not getting God's best, that's the very person that's lying about themselves. They haven't always got God's best. I haven't always got God's best. Amen. Now, there's always reasons why in my life. I can find out the reasons why in my life. But when it comes to other people's lives, I might not know why in other people's lives.
Yeah.
It might not be my business. Deuteronomy 29:29 says the secret thing belongs to the Lord.
Yeah.
And God's not going to share all your business with me and all my business with you.
Yeah.
So if he's not making it our business, then it's not our business.
Right.
And we just bless people where they are. Just meet people where they are.
Yeah.
Say, where can we meet you?
Yeah.
I remember Brother Keith Moore one time saying he was ministering to a lady and he was endeavoring to get her to believe God. And he could see she wasn't coming to where he wanted her to come. So he said, well, where can I hook up with you? And how many of you know that's spirituality right there?
Yeah.
Finding where you can hook up with somebody. And he said, where can I hook up? She said, well, because every day it was getting worse. Some condition getting worse. And she said, I believe that we can pray and believe God and tomorrow it won't get worse.
Okay.
You know, you could look at that and say, boo, that's not very good. Well, that's where she was.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I mean, you are where you are.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
I think we got too much pretend in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
just pretending in order to look good for other people, pretending to be further along when we're not. And that's just as much pride as acting like you got more than you have.
Yes, sir. Come on.
Well, really, that is acting like you got more than you have. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, if that's where we are, that's where we are. And we're not going to get answers on that level. And anybody that encourages us to reach for something we're not at that level, then they're responsible for our failure, because we're going to fail.
All right.
We're going to fail. Because if we're not on a level of faith and we're trying to act on a level of faith we're not on, then we're going to fail.
Yes, sir. Come on.
And if I encourage you to reach on a level, a specific situation, some sort of situation medically or something, to reach on a level where you're not at and you fail, then I'm responsible to take care of you in that failure. I'm talking about something specific. I'm not talking about, you're generally preaching the word and people apply it wrong.
Right.
You can't be responsible for everybody's wrong application.
Yes,
you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about specifically saying, I'm just gonna encourage you not to have an operation. Well, that's not our business to encourage them not to have an operation. If that's where they're at, that's where they're at. Tell your neighbor, this is pastoral preaching tonight. This is another whole side of it. Brother Hagin said in some things I was listening to recently. He said he pastored all those years, 12 years. And he said during those 12 years, he said he never did bury one church member. Now, he said that doesn't mean we didn't have funerals, but they were funerals from people outside of the church and the congregation. And he said, you realize I didn't have large churches either. And he said, you realize I didn't pastor any of them very long. You know, you pass to the church longer, you might have. But he said, only three of our people in all those 12 years of pastoring. Now, he pastored different churches. I don't remember, five churches or whatever it was. But he said only three of our people in any of those 12 years of combined pastoring, only three of the people, of our people, the congregation, the people that called it their church home, that I was their pastor, not visitors or anybody else, but only three of them got healed by gifts of the Spirit. He said all the rest of them got healed on their own faith. And he said only two of them that we endeavored to get healed failed to get healed. He said, but you realize I had to work with some of them over a period of 6 months. Just keep putting the word into them. Just keep putting the word into them. Just keep putting the word into them. He said the two that failed to receive healing, he said both of them said, no, Pastor, he was their pastor, Pastor Hagin, I'll go to my grave with this condition. And so he said, I just said, all right, then I'll just love you where you are and love you in that condition, knowing God has something better for them. He said, but I went to the Lord. He said, because people heard me say that, pastors and ministers hear him say that, and they would say, and they'd get condemned about it, and say, I guess I'm not doing as well as I could, and so forth and so on. And Brother Hagin said, I went to the Lord about it and asked the Lord about it. Maybe I should stop telling those stories. Because he said, that wasn't my heart to condemn anybody. I was just simply testifying to the faithfulness of the Word of God. And to the faithfulness. How many of you know the Word of God is true?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And as far as believers, we're going to walk this thing out. We're going to walk it out by faith.
Yes.
So he said, I went to the Lord and asked the Lord. He said, maybe I should stop telling these stories. He said, because that's not my heart for people to be in condemnation and so forth and so on. And he said, the Lord said to him, no. He said, you just keep telling it like it happened and encourage them to come up to God's best. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You see, we've got to stop turning what is meant to be encouragement into condemnation.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
That's a bad spiritual habit.
Yes.
When we're preaching God's best, when we preach, no sickness among you. When we preach, by his stripes we're healed. And Jesus took all our infirmities and so forth and so on. And God's best is that none of us die prematurely and so forth. We're preaching God's best.
Yeah.
I said we're preaching God's best.
Amen. Amen.
But that doesn't mean any of us have always reached God's best.
Right.
Amen. Some of us have at times. Amen.
Amen.
But see, we're not preaching that to condemn people. We're preaching that to be faithful to what God said in His Word, and to encourage people to reach for it. And guess what? If we reach for it, we reach for God's best and get half of it. That's better for that's better than reaching for nothing and getting all of it. Hallelujah. The thing is, let's keep on reaching for it. If somebody doesn't get God's best, the person that condemns that person is a small spiritual person. Because they know in their own heart and mind, they haven't even always got God's best. I haven't. Have you? Hold your hand up if you've always got God's best. We're going to pray for liars right now. Amen. None of us have. Well, what should we do to each other? Kick each other for that? Heavens no. Dear Lord. I mean, we're going to have to bloody our own nose first. Beat ourselves up. You failed. You missed it. You're not perfect. You. Amen. Somebody's going to get free in here tonight. Free from condemnation. Satan's the accuser of the brethren. Amen. So we need to learn to reach for God's best, but not be condemned if we don't hit always God's best. Amen. Praise God.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Woo, glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. I remember, I'm trying not to pick on anybody, but you know it's true about you as well as anybody else I point out. I remember Matt Slaymaker here, he was believing God. He wasn't trying, he was believing God for some money to go with me to Nigeria one year. And he got, $1,000 or $1,500, but it wasn't enough.
Right.
He came to me down and discouraged. I said, Brother Matt, look at that.
Yeah.
Was it $1,500? $1,500 came in. Well, from no other source, you did one your income. It came in for that trip.
Yep.
I said, your faith was working.
Amen.
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 I said, rejoice. Your faith was working.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Didn't get it all, but I've been there.
Come on.
Yeah.
Wow. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah!
Yes! Hallelujah!
I don't know where he was, 30-fold, 60-fold, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Going for God's best.
Yeah. God's best.
He learned a lot. He developed on that. And has been going with me ever since, I think, maybe. Don't remember about everyone, but he's going with me.
Yeah.
Woo, glory.
Woo!
See, he started developing. At least he reached for something.
Thank you.
Am I making any sense tonight?
Yes, sir.
I have more respect for that than I got people sitting back saying, twiddling their thumbs, say, oh, I wish I had more faith. Why don't you get out of the boat and start reaching for something? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Listen, Brother Hagin used to say all the time, if I can't believe God for $2 million, I'll take one.
Come on now.
Hallelujah. Somebody's going to get free in here tonight. Woo! Glory to God. I mean, his faith was working.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
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 Glory be to God. Are you with me tonight?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Praise be to God. So if you got to pop a pill to relieve yourself of some pain while you're believing God, you pop that pill and shout and praise the Lord.
Yay!
Amen.
Yes.
If you got to have an operation to live another day, have that operation and come back to church and we'll all shout with you.
Yes.
Sure do beat dying. Thank God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody's going to get happy in here.
Hallelujah.
Now, that doesn't mean we change God's word and we say, well, you know, because my experience didn't match what God's word said, then I'm going to change my doctrine. No. We don't accuse God of being wrong in his word. We don't change his word because of our experience. We keep reaching for the perfect will of God.
Amen.
And if we reach for it and get half of it, we shout and praise God. That's better than where we've been.
Amen.
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 I'm telling you, this is just freedom.
Yes, sir.
Our doctrine needs to be based on what's revealed in the Word of God, not our experience.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
We're preaching God's best, and that's only to encourage people, not to condemn people.
Yeah.
To encourage them.
Yes,
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're not accusing the word of not being true. if we don't get God's best. We're not accusing the preacher of preaching something wrong because we didn't get God's best. I'm going to say that one again. We're not going to accuse the preacher of preaching something wrong because we didn't get God's best. Well, that faith church down there, they believe everybody can be healed, and I didn't get it, so I guess that's not true because my experience doesn't line up. That doesn't change. Your experience doesn't change anything. I don't preach this because I've always gotten this. I preach it because it's the Bible.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And I'm reaching for it. I'm reaching for God's best.
Amen.
You can read in the Bible. I mean, you can read over there. You read God's covenant to Israel. They'll, I'll take sickness away in the midst of you, and the number of your days you'll fulfill. There'll be not one feeble one among your tribes, so forth and so on. And you can see that. But yet you can see major prophets in the Old Testament died of sickness and disease. Well, I guess that's not for everybody then. That doesn't change. Their experience doesn't change the Word of God. I've hesitated to say this a couple of times. But I believe it would help somebody. Amen. I'm not trying to put anybody down.
Amen.
But Brother Hagin had a hearing aid for years. Well. Why, how's it come? Mm-hmm. Well, same how's come you.
Yeah, seriously. Yes, come on. Yeah. Come on. Come on. Yes, sir.
Come on. Amen. How's come you? Yeah. Well, there's always a reason, and it's none of our business why he had a hearing aid.
Amen.
We just get our nose out of other people's business and take care of our own backyard. You know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
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 Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. So we don't accuse the Word of not being true. We don't accuse the preacher of preaching something that's not true. If it's in the Word, it's true. I mean, Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And how many of you know, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who heals all thy diseases. All of them's all of them. Amen. If I don't receive on some level, then that doesn't change. All my diseases were put on Him. Doesn't change the Word at all. Amen. But neither do I have to live under condemnation about it. I think the devil is his favorite tool. One of his favorite tools is condemnation. Because he uses it so much. He knows that condemnation is one of the greatest enemies of faith. If he can get you in condemnation, he can keep you from receiving from God. Amen. Why don't we just operate on the level we are and keep on reaching?
Yes, sir.
Amen. How many of you know faith works?
Yes, sir.
But how many of you know we're all learning to work it?
Yes, sir. Amen.
And I'm telling you, we're getting results.
Yes,
do we see more that we can get? Do we see more that's available for us? Sure. Yeah.
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 Do I see more? Oh, my goodness, do I see more. Amen.
Amen.
But see, let's not water down the Word just because we're not seeing all that we could see or we know we should be seeing. I said we're all learning to work the faith we have. We're all learning to practice our faith. You know, it took Brother Hagin 16 months on the bed of sickness. Actually, it was his deathbed, according to the doctors. It took him 16 months to learn faith. And but once he learned it, he came up off of there healed. Well, if it takes you a while, don't you get down on yourself. Amen. You're still getting it. I'm still getting it. I said, I'm still getting it. Anybody else want to be honest and say, I'm still getting it? But what are we going to do? Just sit around and do nothing with what we got? Or are we just going to keep on learning and keep on reaching? You know, when a baby falls... Or let me ask you, how about you? You're not a baby, but let's use you as in this illustration. Let's say if you're walking somewhere and you trip and you fall down. Maybe I invite you out to our land and we've got, you know, trails, but some of them have sticks and stumps and, you know, roots sticking out and so forth. And you're not paying attention. I try to tell people sometimes, watch out, there's roots and stuff here. But let's say you're not paying attention and you're talking, looking at me and you trip over a root or something and you fall down. Do you just lay there the rest of your life and say, well, I fell. Is that what you do?
No.
Please don't.
No.
Huh?
No, sir.
Well, if you reach for something and you don't get God's best, what are you going to do? Just lay there and cry and complain? No, you get back up and you go at it again. Hallelujah. I said you go at it again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But if you didn't receive God's best, don't water down God's word. Change your doctrine to meet your experience. Just keep washing yourself in the water of the word till your faith and your experience comes up to the level of God's word. Hallelujah. And let's just keep on loving each other while we all grow. And encourage one another. I said encourage one another. That's the way we're going to get where we're going, through encouragement. Not through beatings. Amen. You know, people, I think sometimes they're just deceived, but they might mean well. They try to spur people on. I know I was raised this way. Spur people on to do better by you know, pointing out faults and stuff like that. I don't believe that's the way God is. I believe he's always a very positive God, always encouraging. Yeah, he'll sometimes convict us real strong. Amen. But it's always in love. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'll be honest with you. If we try to reach out beyond our measure of faith and fail, we can do more damage to our faith doing things like that than we ever will by just staying within our measure. I've seen people get out beyond their measure, try to act the big shot in faith, and just impress somebody else or whatever their reason was, and do damage to their faith. And I've seen some of those folks never recover. It can take people a long time to recover. I've seen some people never recover. They get mad at God because he didn't come through for them. Well, it wasn't God. It was them out beyond their measure. They get mad at God, get out of fellowship with him, and you know, he didn't come through for them. Amen. 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 I struggle sometimes telling stories. I get unction sometimes to tell stories along certain lines. And I struggle with it sometimes because I walk out of the service thinking, Lord, I hope people didn't hear that in condemnation. I hope people didn't hear that as bragging. Because my intention was to testify. Yes. Amen. To the faithfulness of God. Amen. To the truth of the word of God. Yes, and I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on Jesus.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And so, you know, you leave services sometimes and you're wondering, you know, I'm not sure how people took that wrong. But how many of you know Jesus said to Brother Hagin when he asked the Lord, maybe I should stop telling some of these stories. He said, no, just keep telling it like it is and keep encouraging them to come on up. And that's the way we intend these things. Yes. If it sounds like, well, I'm not there and Don't turn what's intended to encourage you into a condemnation or a beating.
Yeah, that's good.
Amen.
Amen.
Just receive the encouragement and say, well, I see God's good and I see he's faithful. I haven't got there yet, but I'm learning.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Hallelujah. And rather than sit around and stew in our juices, let's just keep on learning. Let's keep on taking steps.
Amen.
Keep washing ourselves with the water of the word. How many of you remember, we've said it many times over there in John 15 where it talks about different levels of fruit. No fruit, fruit, more fruit, much fruit, fruit that remains. And the way you get from one level to the other is you keep washing yourself in the water of the word.
Amen.
Whew, glory. Well, if you're not where you want to be, none of us are. We all want to be further along. Then let's just keep doing what's necessary to get there. Not beating ourselves up and just saying, well, I guess I've somehow I got a defect in my faith or my spirituality. The Lord don't love me as much as he loves Pastor or somebody else that gave a great testimony.
Yeah, come on.
No, just don't let condemnation in when it was intended to be an encouragement.
Amen.
Amen. And let's just love each other the whole way through the whole thing. If somebody goes through hell and high water, we're going to look down our nose at them and say, well, bless God, I'm not going through hell and high water. You must not be in faith. I'm in faith. A person like that's in trouble, they're going to go through something worse.
Yeah. Come on. Come on.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Did you get free tonight?
Yes.
That should have freed you up.
Yes.
Ha, ha, ha.
Ha, ha.